She is an associate professor of the Department of Health Promotion and Behavior. Pardon me, let me rephrase that there. She is a research assistant professor in the Department of Epidemiology at the University of North Carolina, Gillings School of Public Health. She also manages the Spatial Health Assessment Research Program, entitled SHARP, which provides technical assistance for public health programs interested in using GIS. Her research interests include the role of social factors in decision-making during disasters, and she was part of a team of public health practitioners who responded to Hurricanes Isabel, Charlie, Katrina, Wilma, and Irene. Please welcome her today. She's here to describe the MPH and MSPH student practicum process in the Department of Epidemiology.
Good afternoon, everyone. I usually don't use my notes, but I have lots of notes written here, so if people ask me specific questions about some of these examples, I'll be able to use as my cheat sheet. So today I'm going to talk about linking academics to practice, which is our graduate student practicum program in epidemiology. To some of you, this is going to sound like a very minimal student practicum, but it's much better than we had a few years ago. I have no relationships to disclose, and neither do any of my co-authors. So the MPH-MSPH practicum in the Department of Epidemiology at UNC is a planned, supervised, and evaluated practice experience. We centered it around several sets of concepts and competencies, including the ASPH-MPH core competencies, the discipline-specific competencies, so those are like the CSTE, CDC applied epidemiology competencies, for example, as well as cross-cutting competencies and topics like communication, cultural competency, and leadership and ethics. So how we got to this point was that in 2007, in response to our CEF evaluation, the EPI department was sort of singled out as needing to work on their practicum requirements. So over the next year, the three co-authors of this presentation, who were at the time the chair of the Graduate Studies Committee, the director of student services, and the practicum coordinator, all met to rewrite the practicum guidelines for the department. So those went into our academic policies for the academic year 2008. And so the master's students are now required to do a 40-hour practicum, and doctoral students are required to do two 20-hour practicums. So some of the settings where they do these practica are community organizations, public health agencies. Many are in cooperation or partnership with local health departments or our North Carolina Division of Public Health. Other governmental agencies, so we have EPA, NIEHS, and other agencies like that right in our backyard. And then some NGOs, so some of the ones who have ventured further afield might be working with an NGO. One example I'm not going to talk about is someone who worked with an NGO in Seattle on a ballot referendum on taxing sweetened sodas. So the practicum responsibilities are sort of divided up among five people. So the practicum preceptor is one of those, and that is the role that I typically play with the students. The students have a big role to play in this. The academic advisor, the Office of Student Services, and then the faculty practicum coordinator, who I spoke about earlier. So the students have to enroll in EPI 900, which is a no-credit course. They have to submit a practicum proposal, which is a written document. It's about 3 pages long. They have to actually complete the practicum, the 40 hours. They have to write a report about the practicum and file it with Student Services, and then they have to complete an evaluation of the process. The academic advisors really play more of a sign-off role. They help the students find the practicums and plan them, and they review the proposal, and then they sign off and grade the overall project. But most of the interaction between the student and the faculty member for the practicum is done with the practicum preceptor. So again, that's the role that I typically play. So in that case, I work with them in a more hands-on way to help plan the practicum. I typically host and mentor them. A lot of the practica that I take them on are, as you heard from my introduction, are sort of, I've taken students to Florida to respond to Hurricane Wilma with the Florida Department of Health. So oftentimes we're going to another place to do this. So then I work with them, give them feedback, and then provide an evaluation to both the student and the academic advisor. And then the practicum coordinator really sort of just provides overall guidance for the program, and she's the person who has to sign off on the practicum. So, and she receives the completed evaluation form. So she's the gatekeeper here in terms of the things that they can come up with that they would like to count for a practicum. And then the Office of Student Services, any of you who are in a university know that this is the glue that holds the whole thing together. So they really manage the practicum as an academic requirement. So ensure the students are registered for EPI 900, keep the file of all of their completed documents, make sure that they have a preceptor or help them find one if they have an idea. So really they make the process run smoothly. So one of the biggest issues that we've had over the last 2 years is working with the students on what is not a practicum. So we could have talked before at the beginning of this presentation a lot about service learning and the IOM report and what is service learning. I think one of my speaker colleagues is going to talk about service learning. But we often have to explain to them that doing a literature review is not a practicum. Doing secondary data analysis of a data set that your academic advisor has is not a practicum. One of the biggest issues we have is that work that you're doing for your graduate research assistantship is not a practicum. That's work that you're doing for your graduate research assistantship. Typically, we don't allow them to do the practicum as part of their master's paper. So if they, say, went out and did a data collection activity with me to assess people's evacuation behavior after Hurricane Irene, typically, if they want to use that as a practicum, they can't also use the data for their master's paper. And they can't count something that they did before they came. So you can't say, oh, well, I worked at the local health department for 3 years and I did all kinds of practice. Doesn't count, has to be during your time. So I also am affiliated with the UNC Preparedness and Emergency Response Learning Center, the PERL, which used to be the CHIPS, the CPA, Centers for Public Health Preparedness, for those of you who are familiar. And we have a student volunteer surge capacity team called Team EPIAID, which really focuses on applied public health and service learning. So through that, we're able to provide a lot of practicum experiences because we receive requests for surge capacity directly from state and local health departments. So PERL-affiliated faculty, myself, I often serve as a preceptor, and then our practicum coordinator is also a PERL-affiliated faculty. So it provides a nice linkage between the more academic side of the department and the more practice. So just going to give a few examples of some of the practica that we've done that I've worked on with students recently. So just a few weeks ago, I took 18 students to Beaufort County, North Carolina, where we did an assessment of Hurricane Irene evacuation decision making. And you can see there we collect data on handheld computers using GIS enabled. So they get a lot of interesting skills in addition to their practicum. Last year, we had a student who assisted a local health department with a hepatitis B outbreak in a nursing home, and they really conducted that outbreak investigation from start to finish to help identify the source of the outbreak. Also, last year, we assisted Durham County, just to our west, I guess, of Chapel Hill, on a community health assessment. All the counties in North Carolina required It was every 4 years. Now with ACCA, it's going to be every 3 years to conduct a community health assessment. So these students helped the health department not only do the door-to-door interviews, but also the data analysis, write a summary report, and present that report to the Board of Health. So that was sort of a really nice package for a practica because they did interviewing, they did data analysis, they did report writing, and they got to present to a local partner. So a sort of unique practicum experience, we had a DVM MPH student who was really interested in tick-borne diseases. And we were getting a lot of calls from school nurses with interest about tick-borne diseases. So this student, for their practica, developed a new online training course targeted at school nurses around tick-borne diseases. And then she presented it at our annual school nurse conference and also did a special sort of marketing to the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools school nurses. So that was sort of a unique, based on her experience and background, that she had come up with. In October 2009, I took a team of students, and actually we partnered with Emory's SORT team, which is some of our team EpiAid students, to Cobb and Douglas counties to do an assessment of women's health after some flooding that they had had there. And so in conclusion, we think it's really important to have these competency-based and faculty-mentored practicum experiences, and that it's an important part of their learning beyond the classroom to have these applied service learning experiences. The faculty at our Pearl are strategically positioned in a unique way to support the practica to really link that idea of classroom learning and public health practice settings. So here's my contact information if you should have any questions about either our practica program or our Team EpiAid program.